my mom. Welcome to this week's episode of BDA Baby. I am really thrilled to be chatting today with Sarah Wright Olson, who just had a book come out this week, which is so exciting. What a wild time to launch a book. Crazy, crazy. So we're going to talk a little bit about her book, but also a really big topic that a lot of you have asked to hear more about is the process of introducing your new baby to siblings. So I'm really excited to hear what her advice is on that and to get some tips for everybody who's wondering how to do that and what the best way is to do that. She has three little ones and also just had a baby during this pandemic, like I did. So we can relate to that. Yay, it worked.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you? How's it going?
Great, congratulations, happy book week.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
It's a crazy time to launch a book, and especially during this pandemic time, launching books is so different than it has been at any other time. And so it's definitely challenging, but so exciting. I'm so happy for you, and your book is so amazing and just totally aligned with everything that we talk about on BDA Baby. So I'm really excited to have you come on. But before we do it, why don't we just tell everybody a little bit about your book so people can also get that this week?
Sure. Thank you so much. I have a friend who actually wrote a book. She wrote a couple of books and she wrote me this week and she goes, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe you're doing this during the pandemic. Like, send me a photo, send me everything. Like, how can I help?" And I was like, "Thank you."
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I was like, you know, it's kind of beautiful, really, that this is all happening at this time because, you know, Teresa and I started this Your Zen Mama community years ago because I'm from Kentucky, she's from Australia. And we're not with our family. So, you know, we were trying to create community when we didn't have it when we first became moms. And, you know, you're becoming a mom during a pandemic. So you've become a mom during a pandemic. So that's really hard too, because your community really probably your family and then whatever you have online. So, you know, it's in, and your friends. But, you know, it's just our book, we wrote it to, you know, kind of provide a space for people to, you know, like our community is for people to sort of share their stories, like BDA Baby, you know, people ask questions and share stories. And our book starts off with like that first moment that you decided like, oh, I want to have a baby, to, you know, the pre-pregnancy, fertility. We have a whole chapter dedicated to pregnancy loss. And then the birthing experience, labor, postpartum, and then those first like few months and then the beyond years, like what kind of parent do you want to be? So really it's the full scope, you know, if you, look at it, it's that full scope of your parenting journey.
Yeah. I love that. I think it's so great. And you and Teresa are so awesome with being able to share a wide variety of different experiences and different takes on all of those phases of parenthood and of having a baby. And I'm really excited to read it. I have my copy coming this week, so I'm very excited to do that. But I also am really excited because I want to, first of all, I know you also had a baby since being in this pandemic, which is wild. What was your experience like? Because everybody always asks me what my experience was. I don't have anything to compare it to because this is my first baby. So I didn't have anything to compare it to, but what has it been like for you?
You know, it was so interesting. I think even being pregnant during the pandemic, because your doctor visits are so different, you know, like my first baby I had with a midwife. So that was a different experience, you know, unto itself. And then my last two pregnancies, I've been with this amazing OBGYN, Dr. Goldberg, who I love so much. And, you know, I'm used to going with my kids. That was the whole thing of how I sort of introduced sibling, you know, my kids to their sibling was by taking them along to the ultrasound appointment.
Oh, wow.
Having them see that experience and making a connection so that they're like, oh yeah, that's my baby, you know? And this time we didn't get to do that. So I had to go by myself, I'm sure like you did. And then, you know, the actual lead up to the birth, I was very nervous because I was scared about going into a hospital. We were such a lockdown family, didn't go anywhere, you know? It was just like, a very strange feeling to be like, okay, now I'm going into public, but not only that, I'm going into a hospital, you know, and I'm going to be in labor and Lord knows I'm going to rip my mask off at some time, you know, because I'm a wild birther who like grabs everyone, pulls people in close. I sweat really bad. I'm a dirty, dirty birther. Like there's poo everywhere. It's like a whole thing.
Oh my God. I need to like know. I love that you're a wild birther and that you even know that you're a wild birther. I feel like in my whole birth experience, I feel like I have moments of flashbacks, but I feel like you kind of black out also for most of the time because it was my first time doing it. So I had no idea what to compare it to, or, you know, we compare it also to, you know, our friends sometimes, but also our parents or what we see in the movies. And it's so different than that for most of the time, hopefully. But yeah, this whole idea of going into a hospital during COVID, we were the same, super locked down, didn't go anywhere. And then you go in and you're like, do I have to keep a mask on the entire time I'm in labor? And I had a couple of friends give birth before me in this pandemic, and some of them had to keep their mask on the entire time. And I just was like, there's no way I could do that. Like it was just, and luckily I was able to take it down, but it's just such a wild experience to have that as being something that you need to think about when you're going to deliver a child.
I was too hot. I was like, it was so funny because my husband was at work, you know, he was shooting on Paramount and he had left that morning. And when he left, I was in labor and I was just like, I was like, okay, I know this is real, but go ahead and go to work and you're closer to the hospital than I am. So I'll meet you there. that's a third time birther, by the way.
And I was like, very relaxed.
Yes. And I was like, okay, so I'll meet you at the hospital. And, you know, he got in there. I was probably like between 5 and 6 centimeters dilated at this point. I hadn't been at the hospital long. I sort of went through like my COVID test and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And he flew in with like a lot of adrenaline. So he was hot, you know, his body was hot. So I remember that I was already sweating so bad because transition was starting and I kept touching his body and I was like, you're so hot. Like I just needed like cold washcloths and like something, you know, but every time I touched him and I wanted that experience of like holding on to him, like I usually did. And I was like, your body is just infected.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. That's wild. We've talked before about the idea of nourishing your body. I actually didn't really know that much about it until one of my friends, Cammie, actually got me a book called The First 40 Days, which I know you also have know about. But the whole idea of that, I feel like, is so new and not something that generations before us really talked about or focused on necessarily. I know my mom was like, this is so new, this idea of like, nourishing your body and taking care of, you know, the mother and focusing a lot on that. And it's just, it's an amazing thing. And it's also so important. And I found it to be so helpful, especially breastfeeding and eating foods and being smart about how to, you know, take care of yourself from what you're putting inside your body. And then also what you can be eating to boost your milk supply or to feel better, to deal with the hormonal changes and hormonal fluctuations. So I know that you have done this 3 times. So I want to hear a little bit about what your advice or tips or tricks are for that journey post labor.
Okay, great. Can you still hear me and see me okay?
Yeah, now I can.
Okay, good. I think in my very first go around, I was having a home birth with a midwife, and I had a doula that I really loved, and she sort of sat me down and she was like, "What are you doing for postpartum?" And I was like, "What do you mean? I'm taking care of a baby, I guess." And she was like, "Do you have any help? Like, I know your husband works on this show and he's gone for 15 hours out of the day. Like, what are you doing?" And I was like, "No, I'm good. Like, you know, I grew up babysitting a lot. I got this, you know." And she was like, "Okay, there's a lot that happens with your body, you know." And she was like walking me through kind of all the, you know, different things that I'm going to possibly potentially feel afterwards. And she said, you know, this is a time when you need to kind of rest and let your body heal. And, I didn't really put it all together. So, but I did hire, somebody to come, a postpartum doula to come just for a couple of hours a day after my first birth to help me. And so I'm so glad that I did that because I was having trouble putting my arms together. And so, she was here to help me. And, you know, I think what that did was it taught me that you really have to set yourself up in such a different way afterwards, because your body goes through so much and you have no idea what it's going to be like for you after. And I also read the book, The First 40 Days. I love that book. You know, mom and taking care of mom. And some of those key things are what you're eating and putting into your body. And you want to avoid sugar if you can in the first 40 days. You want to eat a lot of warming foods to help your body heal. And, you know, you're wanting to, for me, for this third go around, I actually did it. I did all the stuff. And, I mean, there were some things that I was like, I'm going to have a little sugar, you know?
Yeah.
but I didn't, you know, I didn't have caffeine and I stayed in bed. I did the first 2 weeks in bed. And then the next 2 weeks I was like up and around, and it was easier to do because, you know, we're in a pandemic and we're home anyway.
Right.
And we're just able to help each other out. And with having two other kids, you know, they kind of entertain each other. So I was able to be in bed with my baby and have that experience that I haven't had before. Usually I'd like have a baby and then I'm out the door. You know, it's like, you got to go run errands and run to the grocery and, right, you know, what it is. And now you can't really do that. So,
yeah, I felt like definitely like one of the silver linings of having a baby during a pandemic has definitely been the amount of quality time that you get to spend with your baby and your family. And especially, I think, for anyone who's breastfeeding this, yes. I remember my pediatrician was like, "When are you going to introduce her to a bottle?" And I was like, "What's the point? Like, I'm not going anywhere because I'm at home and I'm able to do everything from home." But it's, you know, compared to your first two experiences, it was probably so different to have all of that time to be able to be at home and not go anywhere.
Oh, it felt like a blessing. I mean, when I had my second, my son had started preschool. And so I had just had my daughter and he started preschool about 4 weeks later or something. And so of course I was feeling all this mom guilt about bringing a new baby into the world, into his world. And, you know, and I wanted to be there for him at preschool drop off. So I was like running to preschool drop off with the newborn in a ring sling, like doing transition with him there. And it was a lot. It was so overwhelming. And I wasn't healed. You know, I remember like I was wearing the postpartum pads, those huge pads, to school because I was bleeding so much. And I was bleeding so much because I was up on my feet. I should have been laying in bed. And I wasn't doing anything to help my body heal. I wasn't working on my, you know, pelvic floor, any of that stuff that's so important in postpartum. But I think, you know, for when we wrote our book, we did three different sections during postpartum because it's body, it's your baby and it's also your mind. So that's another big part of it, is that like mm-hmm. nourishing the postpartum mind too, is just having moments where you can be there for yourself. And even if it's like 10 minutes of writing in a journal and like putting your thoughts down, because I don't know if you experienced this, but you know, for me, I had postpartum anxiety with my first two kids, and it was a lot. It was, I didn't know what that was. I didn't know that was a term at the time. Right. But it's just, all of those things can easily be looked over and be like, I don't know what's going on with me, you know, and hormones are so high. But you know, it's really helpful if you're kind of going through the steps of, okay, this is a time when mom needs to be like taken care of so that mom can take care of baby.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that the importance that we put on that now, especially with talking about postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety, yes. I feel like, is such an amazing thing, because it does, you know, of course create awareness around the topic. But also I feel like anybody who had a baby during this time of being in a pandemic has had some degree of postpartum anxiety, in the sense of wanting to protect your baby, being anxious about, you know, COVID, being anxious about, you know, who do you allow to hold your baby? How do you celebrate the birth of your child with your friends, your family? Like, it's such a different and unique time that this idea of not having postpartum anxiety around this pandemic time is like, I can't even imagine it, you know, you not having that. And I certainly experienced that with every single thing that was coming in the house, every person that was coming by. I was like, I don't know how to deal with it, how to protect. It's a lot to deal with.
Yeah. Because you also, you know, in those first like 3 months of postpartum anyway, when you're bringing a baby home to siblings in general, usually siblings in normal times are out at school or preschool or play dates or whatever it is. So you're already consciously thinking like, okay, you have to be careful with germs. Like, don't put your hands in the baby's mouth, you know, things right. like that happen. But during this time, you know, that part's a little bit different, but then you're also like, did I touch that package and then wash my hands? And you know, your brain is just operating on such a heightened level. And I was saying this to a friend of mine, but I don't think I realized until, you know, we had someone dropped off a package or something. It was a friend of mine who dropped off a package and said hello from the driveway with a mask on, you know, months ago. And I was up on my porch and I was like waving at my friend. And, you know, it was so sad because I was like wanting her to see the baby. And I just was like holding the baby up. And, but I was also so nervous. And, you know, one of my friends ended up getting COVID. And so we were all sort of talking about it, and it terrified me because right. I just think that the fear lives right under the skin. And even if you're like, okay, I'm doing all the things to help myself mentally, you don't realize how much we've all been holding on to this whole time. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, being fearful of just any of this, all of the unknown, right? And then you're a new mom with a lot of postpartum hormones, and that adds to it as well.
The postpartum hormones are, I tell all of my friends that had had a baby before me who were trying to help me and to give me advice about, none of them talked to me about the postpartum hormones the way that I felt like they should have. I was like, that is a whole thing onto itself of the surges that happen and the, you know, hormone drops that happen. And then if you're breastfeeding, how that impacts your healing process and what you're putting in your body, how you're taking care of your body, the lack of sleep. Like, there are so many different things that, factor into your hormones and also just how you're feeling as a new mom.
Definitely. And the lack of sleep. I know, I'm here for you anytime you want to talk about hormones.
I love talking about hormones because, I mean, I think like for, you know, a lot of people experience the hormones in different ways, of course. If you, you know, have had things like PCOS before having a baby, you're experienced in your hormones and have knowledge about it. But if you, you know, didn't necessarily have a crazy period growing up and then all of a sudden you have an experience with your hormones for the first time that's different than it was before, which is, you know, after you deliver your baby, it is such a shocking thing how much hormones can really affect your body and your, you know, how you feel about certain things and just like your mind, body, soul kind of a connection. And it was so surprising to me. And I remember having one morning where I was so, my boobs were so engorged and I was like, I felt really tired and I was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Like I was just so, and then it went, it was totally fine after that. But I was just like, this is such a different and unique feeling. And I remember texting all my girlfriends and being like, why did nobody, you have hot flashes and you're cold again. And I was like, it's a whole crazy, and that happened with you with all three of them, right?
Yeah, it does. You know, and you kind of think like, oh, it's going to be, I mean, there are things that are different for sure, but I breastfed my son until he was two. And I only stopped breastfeeding him because I wanted to get pregnant with my daughter and I was having trouble getting pregnant. And so as soon as I stopped breastfeeding him, I got pregnant right away with my daughter. And then I breastfed her for 3 years. And then same thing, I stopped breastfeeding her and I got pregnant again. So I thought every time like, oh, my nipples would be, they're definitely worn in, you know, like there's been a lot of life, a lot of teeth, a lot of things have happened to those nipples. Yeah. And that it's just, it's always brand new when it starts. Yeah. You know, you're like, oh, that does kind of hurt. And oh, why is it so sensitive? You know?
Right.
And the engorgement phase happens. I think third pregnancy, for some reason, I don't know if it's just because I was more slowed down because of the pandemic, but this third pregnancy was a lot easier on my body. I think I was just on my feet less and, you know, was able to be home and just a little bit more nested. But then the after stuff was just very similar. It's the same engorged boobs. And there was one night when it was really cold in the house and my husband, you know, he can't sleep if it's hot. So it's cold in the house and my shirt's wet from milk and I wake up and I go to the bathroom and your hormones, you know how they like dip and sometimes it makes you shake a little bit, like you shiver sometimes from it. And so I came back to bed and I was like shivering and he was like, what is wrong? And I was like, you make it too cold in here. I was like yelling at him. And I was like, this is all your fault. And I was like, sweat, I'm freezing, you know.
The whole thing. Yeah. I mean, I totally can relate to those feelings.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You touched a little bit on this kind of, which I love and I hadn't even thought of this, you know, idea of introducing your babies your kids to your baby while you're pregnant and being able to do that with doctor's appointments, which is such a genius way of doing it because if you're, you know, explaining it to kids, it does, they don't necessarily understand it, especially if they're really little, but obviously you weren't able to do that because of the pandemic. I was going to appointments alone as well. And it's a crazy time to have, you know, to FaceTime your husband or, you know, to be able to videotape things so they can feel like they have, they're able to be part of the experience, but you didn't have that with your third baby. So how did you introduce and how was it different with each child? Because it's a topic that a lot of people want to know about. Mm-hmm. It's a stressful topic. It's how do you do it right? How do you do it, you know, properly and have being sensitive to your other kids' feelings. And I think in any family, that's a big family. Everybody has a moment. I mean, I'm the oldest in my family and everybody, I always reflect on, even though I was 19 months old, it's like my parents are always talking about when we brought your sister home, when we brought your brother, like everybody has a different reaction to it. So I want to know like what your advice is on bringing home baby to siblings.
Well, I think that for every child, it's so different. So really, you know, you want to kind of see what kind of kid do you have? What is it that they need, you know, what's there, what, you know, for my son, at least when he's our oldest and he was three when we had Esme. And so, you know, I knew for him that making him a part of the experience would be what he needed the most. So as soon as I wanted to tell Eric about being pregnant, I gave Wyatt the pregnancy stick and I was like, take this into Dad and tell him mommy's pregnant, you know? And aww, he like barely was speaking, but he was like, mommy, I'm pregnant. He was, Eric's like, what? He's like getting ready. He's like, mommy's pregnant. And,
he
was like, mommy's what? And he goes, pregnant. And he goes, and he looked at me and I was like, pregnant. And so,
oh my gosh.
So he was so excited and Wyatt felt so a part of it from the beginning. And so then, you know, I took him with me on to all the appointments and my doctor, who's just so sweet, would give him the ultrasound photo and he'd be like, this is your baby, you know? And so my son would take it and he'd be like, my baby's in there and this is a picture. And he would like take it around with him. So I knew that that was something that was really important for him. And I think making them a part of the process, even, you know, if it's the pandemic and you can't do that right now, that's okay. Because you can also do it at home where, you know, you can sort of play different things out with them where you're like, you know, do you want to make a picture for baby? Or, you know, what do you think? The other thing I have is like when baby is born and you go to the hospital and then, or you're bringing baby home, whenever you do that first introduction with your child, with the sibling, then I think it's always great to have the new baby bring a gift to your child. And it's something that's like sentimental. Like my son loved boats. And so his sister brought him this little blue boat. And then, you know, my daughter brought the new baby, like a little stuffed bunny. And, you know, the baby brought her like a little something. And so there was just this little gift exchange that was in a very like sentimental way for them, where it was like welcoming them to the family. So that's another part of it. And then, you know, I think once baby is home, it's a lot about the language that you use. So this is our baby. This is not my baby. This is our baby. Mm-hmm. This is your baby, you know, talking to your kids. And then, you know, when they're so excited, their energy is going to feel like astronomically bigger than what it did before baby was born. Even the day before, you're going to be like, you're going to come home with the new baby. And all of a sudden your three-year-old is going to seem like they're, you know, they drank some energy drink or something. And you're just like, what is happening? You're on such a different like platform than they are. And so they're like jumping on the bed. They seem so intense, you know, and you just you have to like, take a breath and go, okay, you know, oh, I see you're so excited to be here with your sibling. Like, come over here and show me soft hands, but your baby wants to meet you, you know, and just every bit about it is inclusive language for your little one and just making them a part of the team. And then the other piece is like sleeping arrangements too is another element. I don't know if you guys like sleep bed share, co-sleep or room share, but we do all that. And, you know, there's a lot of musical beds that had to happen when the new baby came home.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even think about that part of it when you have, I mean, I remember that I've heard a lot about co-sleeping, which I love the idea of that for me, especially when my daughter was so little. I was so nervous with this idea of co-sleeping because I was like, what if you roll over on the baby? And then like, what happened? Like it just gave me, it made me so nervous. But I also love the idea of, especially as, you know, kids get older, to be able to have them in your room with you, in your bed with you. I remember at one point when I was younger that I remember waking up and I'm the oldest of my siblings, but I remember waking up and all four of us were in my parents' bedroom. And I was like, is this... Am I too old for this? Is this like, what are we doing? But my sister and I were sleeping on the chairs at the end of the bed. And I love that. I love that whole, you know, that whole vibe and that whole feeling of being able to all be together. I think it's so nice and wonderful. So that's such an interesting part of bringing home a baby that I hadn't really thought of. But I do think that, you know, one of the things that a lot of people talk about, and my parents still talk about this today and like make fun of me, is the jealousy aspect of bringing home a baby and having, you know, you have two kids when you're bringing home another baby. And how do you deal with that aspect of it? Because I think it is, you know, every child's personality is different. They're what they need out of you or what they need from a new baby, and that process is unique, but there is sometimes or can be an underlying little natural part of jealousy that might come with, you know, sharing parents or how to deal with that.
Yeah. So, you know, I felt so lucky that when I became a mom, I got to go to Mommy and Me classes, which, you know, you probably have not experienced yet.
Virtual.
Virtual. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And I had this amazing teacher, and, you know, she said something that I have broadcasted to every friend that I have, which is, you know, when you have a new baby and you have your toddler and both of them are upset, if they're both safe, which one do you go to? You go to the toddler. And the reason why is because the toddler is feeling something so different than what a new baby is feeling. A new baby needs you for sure. But if the new baby is in like your Dock-a-Tot or on, you know, in their bassinet or whatever, and if they're upset, that's one thing. But you go to the toddler and you say, I see you're really upset right now, and you're having a lot of big feelings about something. Let's go over together to the baby and we'll just talk about it. And sometimes they might be like, no, I don't want to. And it just depends on your kid. You know, I have one kid that really needs to be held when they're upset. And, you know, she wants to like sit in my lap, even though she's having such big feelings. And then I have another kid who I can sit down and talk with him, and he can regulate and work through everything, like just by having conversation. The other one doesn't want to talk about it. She just wants to like hug. And so, but bringing them over to the baby who's also upset, you know, it's like, let's figure out what's going on with baby. Let's figure out what's going on with you. You want to attend to your toddler first. That really helps avoid the jealousy aspect, is because you're showing them that A, they're a part of the team with you, right? So you're like doing things together to help baby. But B, you're also showing them that they're really important, that this new baby that needs all this care and attention doesn't mean that it takes it away from them, you know, that they're still like, you know, your baby too. And then another thing with jealousy is like, there's, you know, when they get a little bit bigger, there's this whole toy situation that becomes part of it, which I'm sure you remember. And, you know, for us, we had gone to this great preschool that kind of taught us a lot of things. There's a few things. There's like a preschool that we went to that taught us some really wonderful ways to communicate. I think it's all how you communicate, you know? There's like some parents that I hear on the playground that are like, share! And you're like, whoa, it's really aggressive, you know? Like, how about, you know, okay, so this preschool we went to, the language was, I can see that you're still playing with that. And I see that you really want that toy, you know? So let's figure something out. We need to figure this out together because we're, you know, part of the same team. So when you're all done with that toy, will you, give it to, you know, whoever, Esme, and then Esme can play with the toy. And then it's like, yes. And then Esme's like, well, how many minutes, you know, how many more minutes are you going to play with that toy? You know? And then they're like, okay,
yeah,
three more minutes of the toy, and then we're going to let this person play. So that's another part of it too, is just like, I don't love yelling share at the kids, because it's also just such a word that they can't wrap their head around. It's more like, okay, I'm going to like, I get to play with that, but maybe not the moment that I want to. And with siblings, it's the same thing in our home. We just like talk about how we're all part of a team, and yes, I know that you really love that doll, but Wyatt also likes to play with that doll. And so, you know, we need to figure out how we can all play with it together or take turns, because
yeah,
just keep it for yourself, you know? I think it helps to avoid the jealousy aspect. And we haven't had, you know, we have some issues with just like toys and stuff. And I can tell sometimes if I'm giving a lot of attention to the baby that my daughter gets sensitive, and it comes out in different ways. You know, she gets right. really big feelings about it. And she's like mad and stomping to the house about something else. But I know it's about that. And right. so for her, there's this great app that is not out yet. And someone sent us like a demo of it. And I'm blown away by it. It's called Z Bunny. It's like Ziva meditation. And it's this woman and this little puppet. And basically she talks about how when the stormies come in, it's like these clouds come in, you feel all these big feelings, right, with the stormies. But then right. what you have to remember is that above the storm clouds, the sun is always shining, right? So mm-hmm. she's like, so the sun is always still there. So even when you're having these big feelings, you're still you, you know, this, the feelings yeah. are not you. And yeah. so that's like explaining it in child words, right? And so then she has you take like 3 deep breaths. And so we do that with Esme. And then I'm like, are the stormies still there? Are you still Aww. Feeling them? You know? And she's like, stormies are gone. And I'm like, great, let's go do that's, something else.
That's so sweet. That's so nice. I think it's also, you know, it seems to me so much to be obviously so unique to every single person's child and situation, yes. but also to be, I think, gentle with yourself as a parent, because there is like that guilt that, you know, so many moms talk about of, you know, having going from one child to two and then two to three and, you know, taking time away from.
One to two yeah. is so much harder. It really is, because 2 to 3, you've done that transition before and those older two can play and they don't feel like the one man out. But 1 to 2, the guilt is like through the roof. It really is. Gosh. You feel so, you do. You feel, if I had to do it over again, I would, you know, something happened with 1 to 2 that it was just, my husband was trying to be really helpful and he kept taking our son on these little like dates, just the two of them. And I would be home with the baby. But I was like, I feel like you're taking him away from me. Like, I don't get yeah. that time with him anymore, you know? And I felt so sensitive. And he was like, oh my gosh, I was just trying to help, you know, give you some yeah. time with the baby. And, but you feel guilty about everything. You feel guilty when you're with them, when you're not with them. So yes, I 1000% agree with you. It's just like finding a way to be gentle on yourself and reminding yourself, okay, I'm new at this too. Mm-hmm. And they're figuring it out, but so am I. So let's navigate it together. You know, mm-hmm. like you and your kid, you got to figure out what they need, but also what you need, because your heart is going to be going through a lot postpartum yeah. too, you know?
Yeah. Well, I love all of those tips. I think the idea of just including your kids in every aspect and every adventure of welcoming a new baby is such a great way to think about it and coming up with all of these different, you know, new and creative ways pre-pandemic or in a pandemic that you can yes. make your children, you know, a part of the baby's experience of from day one, like you did, and just having them be included in all aspects of it is just such a, I think, a great message and a great tip for people to be able to get excited. And it is a daunting thing to sometimes think about, like, how are you going to do that? How do you balance it? And then there are, yeah. you know, how does your existing child feel about it? How do you do check-ins yeah. when they're little? So it's an overwhelming process, but I think that these tips of including and having, you know, check-ins and that app sounds amazing.
Oh, I know. I can't. I think it's called Ziva Kids or something. I don't know. I'll put it on my Instagram at some point, because we yeah. got the promo for it, and my husband's doing it every day with the kids now, and they love it so much. So it's, you know, it's amazing. A really great. We need it. We all need time to breathe. My husband reminds me all the time. He's like, you need to take 3 deep breaths. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, yes, I do.
You're like, thank you so much for that.
don't forget to breathe, babe. And I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
Because I get so worked up, you know?
It happens to all of us. I think especially, yeah. I think everyone can relate to having those moments and being able to have somebody around you who just reminds you gently that, you know, take yes. a minute, give yourself grace in it, and take a breath is a well-received message. But I'm so grateful that you took time to come and talk to us and to be able to give tips about such an important transition and topic for so many people. And I'm so excited about your book. I want to make sure everybody knows that your book is officially out. Yes. Yeah, it's so beautiful. It's so, I'm so excited about it. It's so, you know, you and Teresa talk so beautifully about all the different phases of motherhood and just being able to be such great voices for all the topics that you cover in your book. And so I'm excited for people to get it. I'm excited for my copy to come as well that I just ordered. So it's such a great time, and good luck on this amazing, crazy time to launch a book.
Thank you. And by the way, thank you so much for having me. I love this. When you first started it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And I love following along with it. And I worked with your husband on a show before, and he's the sweetest human being ever. And so I was so excited to do this with you.
I know. I told him I was going to do it with you. And he's like, oh my God, that's so great. That's so great. It's really come full circle. It's like, I know.
No, right?
So fun. Yeah,
many moons ago.
I know. That's so funny. Well, thank you again so much. This was so fun. And we'll make sure to put all the links for your book and for all the awesome things that you and Teresa are doing. And I'm so excited. And thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right.
Awesome. Bye. Bye. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.